I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everybody, this is Archie's Hey Fam. Enjoy your morning.
If you're Metro, I don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot. Bam, 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 bam.
Ants with my wasps in the mud. Wait, I fucked it up.
That's Patreon content.
Ants, wait.
Ants with my wasps in the nighttime.
I wrote this shit. I should know it. Ants with my wasps in the nighttime. Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins.
My name's Offset.
And we Truscott. We did that shit in one take.
Yeah, one take wonders. The Migos are here. A lot of people call Migos Migos.
Because they think it's like an appetizer.
Yeah, but it's like, no, they're amigos. I do a lot of mansplaining at that one to a lot of people I know.
Angus,
it ain't fun.
It's good to be in your kitchen again, here to record another incredible episode of our podcast, Hey Fam.
We feel rejuvenated, don't we? Yeah. I think like we're onto something. I think we finally figured out what this crazy podcast is about.
And that is tonight, Ant-Man
and the Wasp.
And
that's so cool. We're now gross out comedy experts.
We're gonna be talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp, which we saw tonight later.
We just saw it then
in the episode. But before I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp, I did a double feature tonight, Angus. I saw Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah, hell
as
yeah,
well. So we can talk about that too. You got some cool Jurassic Park trivia.
Well,
everyone listening is gonna have the opportunity to win a pair of shoes.
About the trivia, the Jurassic Park trivia.
Yeah, you're giving away a pair of shoes, right?
No, I'm going to be taking
Yeezy Boosts original.
Yeah, they're in my bedroom somewhere. You'll never find them.
But you
it's
could
like
deny
Ant-Man's suit. I've hidden it well. But what was I going to say? When it's not Jurassic Park trivia, but rather I've done an anthropological study this week, and I've explored the world, which is Jurassic Park related film, like the trivia pages for these movies.
So Jurassic Park trivia.
No, you'll find out why it's not that if you keep listening.
I can't wait. We're also going to be talking about something that we teased last week.
Oh yeah.
And that is a deep dive into a recent article.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, everyone's like, you guys just talk about pop culture and, you know, lowbrow culture. Can you guys start bringing back the literary classics that I used to listen to Hey Fam for?
Some of us love to skim long form Rolling Stone articles.
Yeah.
Some of us even read the whole thing, right, Angus?
50% of Hey Fam did it, and that was me. I am the reader.
But there was an amazing article on Johnny Depp that we're going to talk about at length in this episode.
Yeah.
Plus, the baddest mon in hip hop today.
The big bad mon himself.
Drake put out a new album called Scorpion. And you know what? I feel like we've begun a few episodes recently with music talk, so why not do the same?
Let's do that. Okay.
Drake, Scorpion. Yep.
Now, you and I are Drake fans. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, for sure.
You and I are fans of Drake. I think it's also like, it's very easy to be a fan of Drake as well.
I feel like a lot of people find it easier to not be a fan of Drake. It's pretty easy to focus on the things that are really lame about Drake.
But as an artist, he tries to make it incredibly easy for you to like him because he has covered so much ground in terms
of
music.
He's a chameleon.
But you know, he does, he's got his pop songs, he's got his dance hall songs, he's got his I'm a tough guy rap
pops,
song.
Pops, scops, flippers and dippers.
Pick bops, flubs. He has attempted to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a...
Degrassi,
Canada.
On top of that building, that
the
on
building,
that
building, the CNC
cover.
Building, I think it's called, maybe. I don't know. Toronto. Toronto restaurants, Toronto cars,
Cheesecake Factory.
But he's made it a. It's by design and a very, you know, his greatest weakness, or is it strength, that he's made himself very available to any music revenue.
Who's the rapper that you want to introduce your mum to?
Well, he was.
Until he did a bad thing.
Well, rubber up, Aubrey, if you don't want to. No, I mean, you know, we've spoken about this at length. I'm constantly now thinking of another timeline where Pusher and Kanye never got together, made Infrared, and Pusher bit back at Drake, which caused, you know, we've spoken about a couple episodes ago. I wonder how different Scorpion would have been, because there's a few references to being a father.
Yeah, it's quite a few, and it's really, so Scorpion is the name of Drake's new album.
It
is
fifth album. He's like eighth project if you include like More Life, and if you're reading
which is
this.
A playlist, not an album, apparently, even though it contained five less tracks than Scorpion does.
And views. Yeah. So it's like it is actually more of an album than his two records. It's so strange.
But Scorpion is two discs, not that anyone has discs anymore, but side A, side B. And
12 tracks one side, 13 the other.
So 25 all up. The first side is a mostly rap album, yeah, and the second side is more R&B leaning.
Yeah.
I'm a much bigger fan of R&B Drake.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I love his Rihanna collabs.
Isn't that why we all got into Drake in the first place?
Yeah. Like, I mean, he was... The sing-song stuff.
Yeah, he was... That was his point of difference, and he was different for kind of... Historically, too. Like, he was different sound for the Cash Money label at the time. Like, he was different. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was R&B, like, very polished pop. I mean, Kanye, straight off 808s, was producing stuff off Thank Me Later.
That's right.
You know, it's like that real pop.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And
but then he got like really tough. I didn't mind it the first time. On like, I'd say the first time he got super tough was like Worst Behavior.
Yeah, which I think is a great song.
Because it's a great song.
And the clip's really funny.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Drake's being tough. And he's, or at the time, it was almost like, oh, Drake's like commentating on like tough rap.
Yeah, he sounds like, he's not really that tough on that song. Sounds like a teenager trying
like
to...
Like, he looks tough, but it's like shot in a car park at a Canadian, like, Salvation Army or something. You know what I mean? It's like not that tough. But then, like, if you're reading this came out, and that's just like tough.
I got enemies.
It was like paranoid, angry Drake. Yeah. And it's kind of just spiraled into... He's kind of become that guy. He's less, more about...
Well, Views came out after that. Views is a very... R&B focused album, which a lot of people didn't like after it by the time
you and I like Views a lot.
Views is probably my favorite Drake album. Like, I love all the poppy stuff on there, and I love, like, I know that there's, you know, a cultural appropriation argument for sure, because, you know, he's not from the Caribbean, but, you know, he grew up with that music in Toronto, and him having a crack at it, and, you know, for the most part, like, featuring
people
artists
who
that are
involved in that,
like,
scene.
PopCon being on there and stuff like that, like, I really like that Views record. I love all the singles off that. I think Controller is
the best song off the record, but it's like, that's top 10 Drake for me.
One Dance is good fun.
Yeah.
I love that song of Rihanna.
Too Good.
Yeah. So good. And
Nothing Was the Same was my favorite. I think to me, I've said it before to you. It's just, I think that now, especially in this post Nothing Was the Same Drake world, the actual album, not the deluxe version with like four or five bonus tracks, which don't really suit the album. It's like 12 songs.
Yeah, totally. And
it's like,
you know,
oh, that's an... And it sounds like every track on Nothing Was the Same up until Paris Morton Music 2, like, which is the ending before the bonus stuff starts. It sounds like a proper complete album.
Yeah, and we spent most of last week talking about all of the recently produced by Kanye good music albums, which for the most part were 7 tracks long.
All under 9 tracks.
And for me, how many times have you listened through Scorpion?
In one sitting. I actually had to review it for work, so I've managed to do it in one sitting once.
Uh-huh.
And that was even with some pauses when I had to take a phone call and I had to like take note of what track I was up to. And that was in headphones. But since then, I've started a lot and I've just tried to... I've taken a screenshot of which song I'm up to continue it. But now I've gone to like, well, I'm just going to listen to the first side, or I'm just going to listen to the second side now.
Yeah.
Which has made it less daunting.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
Maybe that's how it's supposed to be done. I don't know. Also, separating R&B and rape. This podcast can be about how rape and R&B should never be in the same room together.
That's what the R stands for.
Separating. It's rhythm, rape, blues. Separating R&B and rap. Drake, is that also a good thing? Like, is wasn't maybe the beautiful concoction of Drake that it was a bit of both?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is when you do... push them apart.
He's not a good rapper.
No.
I don't think he's a good lyricist, and he's not a good rapper.
Well, he just is talking about the same stuff. Like, it's so...
How many songs from Drake now have we got that are about him complaining about girls using Instagram?
Girls using Instagram, and also, like, how dare that person mention me who's in this field that I'm in of music. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, like, how dare that mon mention my name. Like, a lot of that, and it's like, well, what? And then there's... But it's the only... He's never been that authentic in his music. And that's fine, I think. Like, I don't
He's a surface-level rapper. That's fine.
But it's interesting.
He's a pop artist.
Yeah. This is the first time in a long time he's been forced to be personal with references to his son. And that's not really personal, but it's the first time I feel like we're actually looking into the Drake that's not like, I have house parties and, like, all the girls come, but I'm sad on my phone. Like, it's the first time he's been, like, pretty authentic.
Yeah, and I don't think it comes off very well. It comes off like him trying to be authentic but missing the mark completely.
I mean, there's that, like, shitty line, which is just... I mean, it's shitty because it's such a bad excuse, because it's like, no, this... I was always doing that, when he's like, I wasn't hiding my kid from the world. I was hiding
the world from my kid.
It's like, yeah man, you weren't, like...
you didn't want this guy to exist.
You didn't want anyone. You didn't want anyone to know, because it was an accident. Like, you've met the kid once, like, as he admits later. Like, he's met the kid once.
Yeah, and then he excuses himself because his dad was a deadbeat dad and he didn't want to be a deadbeat dad too. Like, that's a situation we can't relate to at all, but it is... I don't know.
Maybe I'm a dead... No.
I don't think it's, like, strong enough to be part of an album.
It's almost like this was the opportunity for him to maybe be a lot more personal and self-deprecating.
You know what he should have done is... You know how Khaled's last album was his son
on the cover?
He should have done that with his son.
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like you can tell the album was completed and then he's had to go back and, like, he probably not has to, but it was like, well, I have to address it. And there's been some, like, which is fine, because the album, it's the first Drake album I've heard in a long time where, to me, it doesn't have a sound. It sounds like a retread of all of his other albums. And no, that's not a bad thing, but it's kind of like, you know, Take Care is such a great R&B late night album. Nothing Was the Same. I'm not sure. What would you say Nothing Was the Same sounds like? I mean, that was like a natural evolution of Take Care, with more pop bits, like with Hold On, We're Going Home. And
sure.
And then... If You're Reading This was like rap views is so it sounds like
Reading
a,
This has Preach.
Yeah, that's, great song.
That's
with my Party Next Door.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Preach.
I'm in Miami. I think we've done that before on here. And then even Views sounds concise. Like, everything off Views sounds like it belongs on Views.
Definitely.
More Life sounds concise.
I still haven't listened to the entirety of that.
I got into that more than I got into Views the first time I listened to Views. But it sounds like everything off that sounds like it belongs from that record or that, like, recording period. This one, I'm not too sure what it sounds like yet. Like, maybe it's because it's so gargantuan.
It sounds dull to me.
Well, maybe because it's so gargantuan and it's just like, I can't really...
There's never been a better argument to trim fat and put out something concise.
Well, especially in an era where we've, like, 5 weeks of, like, really tight, zero filler albums. Even albums that we didn't necessarily love, like the Nas album, there was no real filler on that.
Yeah, but even like Race Remed's album this year, that's a triple album.
Trip about, but, yeah.
But I love that. Have you listened to through that?
Yeah, that's and each really album, good. It's very Outkast.
There's an album as Race Remed, there's an album by Slim Jimmy, and there's an album by Swae
I've listened
Lee.
To it once.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
The Swae Lee album in particular.
Is that your favorite?
Very good, yeah.
But it's just...
Swaycation.
It was proof that there is too much Drake.
Have you not listened to that album much? Man, you would fucking love the Swae Lee disc.
Yeah, sweet.
That's very Angus.
Okay, I'll hit that. I'll hit that tomorrow.
It's just like fashion references.
Hell yeah. The Drake ones is... I mean, Scorpion, look, I'll always like and I'll always love and I'll always go see Drake. I think he's a great performer, a great pop star. But it's just... It's proof that there is too much, and maybe editing would be a great thing in this.
Unless you're a podcast.
Unless you're a podcast.
I feel like we don't have a leg to stand on about complaining about an album being too long.
Yeah, it's really funny.
This episode's probably going to be two and a half hours.
Yeah. It has my least favorite Drake song of all time.
Oh, what's that?
I'm Upset, which I think is the most...
Oh, not a good song, yeah.
Dull, boring... It's such a boring, dumb song. The video was fine, the Degrassi thing. I thought
Kev.
That big man Kev. But I think it's like the dullest song of his career.
Yeah, it's not good.
It doesn't even sound like a SoundCloud B-side that you wouldn't put on an album, but you'd upload on it.
But the other singles leading up to this were really good. I like God's Plan.
Nice For What is like fantastic. Nice For What's like the first time he hasn't... It hasn't sounded like a Drake single.
And weirdly, there's the... that's like the one thing that pops up production wise. Like the new sound is the New Orleans
bounce
yeah. samples. Making that they're on a couple of tracks on that second disc.
And the second disc for me, like, you know, is the one I'll listen to the most. I think
After
I
Dark,
think
it's got Ty Dolla $ign and Static Major. That's my number one jam.
I think it's got a lot of the most interesting production too.
After Dark. Oh, you know what I'm the maddest about? He got fucking DJ Paul from 3-6 Mafia to produce a song, which, you know, fine, that's great. I love 3-6 Mafia, but I don't know if, like, you know, Drake is not really someone that I ever want to hear on a 3-6 Mafia beat. And he also gets fucking Jay-Z of all people to rap over the 3-6
Mafia. I didn't realize that was beat. The song. That's
definitely the one rapper that I would like to hear even less than Drake.
He's got some of my favorite Drake songs in a while, actually, on side one. I love Sandra's Rose.
Okay.
That sounds like very...
This is the... If you haven't listened to it yet, these are the Hey Fam, skip to these songs instead.
I like Nonstop.
Yeah, Nonstop's good.
Nonstop, Emotionless. 8 out of 10.
Yep.
Which sounds kind of like... It's got that Mad Dog soul sample stuff. Like, sounds a bit like early Yeezy.
Yeah.
Sandra's Rose. I really like Peak. Opening track. It's got really weird production peak. It sounds like kind of strange. And his voice... He uses this weird vocal thing on his voice. I'm not going to include the singles. I actually really like Ratchet Happy Birthday because it sounds so weird. I skipped
straight to that. I'm like, what's this song going to be about?
I really like it.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's him offering like an alternate Happy Birthday song.
Well, that's
song.
What I like. I like that it sounds like it's kind of different to anything he's done before too, which is kind of weird. I like After Dark. Yeah. And I like Final Fantasy. It, like that switch up halfway through.
Yeah, man, that's really
And it
good.
Samples Final Fantasy.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Final Fantasy?
It's like a loading... It's called like Prologue. It's a piece of music called Prologue. It's that kind of loop that's for the first stuff.
Yeah, sick.
But what we just named then was like a really good album.
Yeah, that's like, at least 7 songs.
And I do think God's Plan doesn't belong on this. That came out in January. And it just seems so far away since the Drake of walking around handing out money. You know that video?
Yeah.
And now it's like... Sounds like worlds apart from like after the revelations of having a hidden child. You know what I mean?
I also like that he did a song called March 14.
That's the day he met his... apparently, that's the day he met his son.
It's also the day that he and Ninja played Fortnite.
I mean, two have been probably the biggest moments of 2018, both of those events. Apparently, it's the one day he met his son.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Where did he and his son drop? On the battle bus.
On the battle bus. Yeah. They got there, they dabbed on that battle royale.
So
imagine being the dude who invented emotes for dabbing in video games.
Hell
just
yeah.
Just how much fucking pussy stonk you got right now. I would like a concise album next.
Yeah, me too.
It made me think Drake used to... Take Care and Nothing was the same, and even Views to an extent, but I think he was working on Views. Like, he made... If you're reading this, it's too late. While he was like to give a break before he made Views, because he knew that going to be a big ode to Canada or whatever. It ended up being very different, but I think it made me realize that Drake did know what an album was and how to craft an album as a sound. But this doesn't sound like an album to me.
Do you reckon it's to try and get as many streams as possible?
Like, yeah, that's why I think the Billboard rules changed the day of how streaming works. The day this came out.
Oh.
And everything he's done since. So he put Hotline Bling as the last track on Views. It's not. It's like a bonus track. But what that means is every stream that song has had is now counts towards.
Right.
That's why I think God's Plan is on there. Because every stream that song has it now counts towards a stream to this.
Right.
It's like gaming and he is smart at that. But I'm also like...
Give us a good product.
Well, yeah. Like just release new stuff. Like, yeah. I don't know. He's more a songs guy at the moment to me than an album guy. And I miss the album Drake. I miss the album Drake.
So I would say that if Drake was an actor in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, he'd be Johnny Depp.
Mo money, mo problems.
Angus.
If this was a chapter, if we did chapters on podcasts, this next section would be called, what was that one we came out? Deep Pocket. Johnny Deep Pockets.
So there was a Rolling Stone article on Johnny Depp. The story behind
it came out 2 weeks ago.
It's fucking phenomenal. It's like
I'm gonna get the name of it now.
The writer was kind of offered the chance to interview Johnny Depp, but and took the job because
His lawyer asked him to come. It's called The Inside Trials of Johnny Depp. the inside trials.
But it was going to be like, you know, like all questions were allowed to be asked, and was going to be basically explaining to the world how Johnny Depp lost millions upon millions of dollars.
It's called The Trouble with Johnny Depp, and it's if this was a film, it would be a single set. It would be interior, evening, and Johnny Depp's London mansion. And the cast would be Johnny Depp as himself. It would be Stephen Roderick, the journalist.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Depp's lawyer, who is probably, I'd say, like the lead supporting actor.
And but he'll be played by Benicio Del Toro.
Benicio, of course.
Reprising his role.
What was his name, the lawyer?
Doesn't matter. No, I don't think people listen to Hey Family.
And then he's like bodyguard and chef. Like, that was it.
Right.
And they're the only people in this.
It's a one room play.
This would be on Broadway, it'd be off Broadway. There'll be a musical. You'd do the TV series, the whatever. But it's just an insane piece of insight into somebody who was so on a pedestal of, you know, the alt kids loved him, the old Hollywood loved him, and he kept
he was company
with Marlon Brando.
He was a really handsome guy.
He hung out with Marlon Brando, but he hung out with Hunter S. Thompson.
He owned a nightclub.
He owned a nightclub that River Phoenix died in. Yeah, and like, he was a TV heartthrob, and he was a musician. And there was so much. Like, he was this kind of... He summed up the 90s in a way, didn't he? Like, you know, he dated Kate Moss, Winona Ryder.
He was in John Waters movies. He was in...
Did you know he's in Tim Burton movies?
Yeah, he's Dumbo.
He's pretty Dumbo.
The
after
Big Fish.
He's pretty Dumbo after reading this. But whether you like him or hate him, you know, a lot of everyone falls into the latter now because of, you know, his actions. Fall from grace, but mainly the actions and allegations against his abuse allegations towards his ex-wife, which comes up a bit in here. But the article is just like somebody's so far removed from any semblance of reality for at least the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, one of my favorite Simpsons jokes is the Bleeding Gums Murphy episode where it's about how he lost all his fortune because he was addicted to his you know, lavish lifestyle in which he consumed or went through one Fabergé egg a day.
Yeah.
And I really, I thought of that as I was reading this.
It's extremely that.
Someone who's not making the money they used to be, but can't
live
in
the way they
lifestyle.
Used to live.
Yeah.
And like living 90s style.
Like drinking, like basically like investing in wine, but then drinking it immediately. So it's never actually
value.
An investment. Yeah.
And being insulted when the journalist says, so apparently you spend like 30K a month, and like being scoffed at going 30, that's not, no, I spend more than that. Like just wild shit like that. But
the whole thing sounds like it's from his deathbed too.
The whole thing sounds like he's written it as well. Like he's a character, like, the whole thing's set at night because the journalist will show up and Johnny won't come till like 6 p.m.
Right.
And will come downstairs wearing like torn jeans and a vest with like scarves, like several scarves. Like, it's just insanity. And it's
scarves, Angus. God.
It reminded me a lot of the big Atlanta episode this season. The one where,
oh my God,
Gambino was in whiteface and played Teddy.
Yeah. Teddy Perkins. Teddy Perkins.
It's
Theodore Perkins.
Yeah. How similar was it to that?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I was like, I'd love to be someone who had money to buy the rights to this script and then turn this into a movie. But then I was like, oh, it's kind of been done.
What about a theme park attraction?
Where you go sit
where you
in
just
there?
Go,
VR.
No, or you just go and like you get to spend 5 minutes and he might not show up. But if you get there after 6, Johnny Depp shows up in scarves.
Fuck, that's insane. I love too. He
scoffs at you.
He has like a personal chef. But they eat tuna fish and corn sandwiches. It's Johnny's favorite. So just imagine this guy that reeks of alcohol with like a goblet. It would be a goblet too, like a really fucked up thing with like heaps of red and then just tuna fish and corn. Like, imagine that, what your shit is like.
I have a really tough question for you.
Yeah.
How does Johnny Depp's voice when he's not playing a character sound to you?
I don't know.
Because all I hear is fucking Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, it's the in the lexicon, isn't it?
And that's what he looks like now. Like if the makeup that he put on to look like a fucked up pirate in the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
It's now him all the time.
Looks better than what he looks like now.
He's like coke bloat.
Ugh.
He's even the interviewer describes him as like very puffy looking.
Yeah.
Which is what I kept thinking. What was amazing.
Thin
his
hair.
People read this and were like, yeah, thanks. You know what I mean? Like yeah, before totally. Publishing it.
Yeah, totally.
So this interview was designed to save face because the people who were minding his money and like his agents, was it, or something like that, of suing, like there's a huge money problem. It's so, it is, if you care about that shit, you can read about in the article, but I was there more for these little gems, which I've saved a few. Would you like me to?
I'd love to. And each of them, I want you to deliver them.
I'm in not doing that.
Different deaf character voices. Starting with Edward Scissorhands. Go.
I'm just going to run to the kitchen drawer and just second drawer scissors. Down. Asked what he thought of these legal shenanigans. Depp shrugs. I'm just a small part of this, he says. It's the fucking Matrix. I didn't see the movie and I didn't understand the script, but here's what it is. The whole article is full of shit like that. That's loved it.
And then the interviewer, like, is, we then took a break to watch The Matrix. Imagine watching The Matrix with Johnny Depp for the first
five times. Yeah. Just kept watching it. It's like I came back later and we watched The Matrix. There was some more here. His home is called Dracula's Castle.
Named after the Melbourne Cabaret restaurant.
Yeah. That in itself is something. That was a moment I saved. Think I would. Oh, here we go.
While Angus is looking for Johnny Depp quotes, I'm waving my hand above my head so I hit my stand goal on my watch.
Oh, wow. Is that how you do it?
Yeah. So I lose all these kilos, motherfucker.
Oh, this was my favorite bit when he addresses the rumor that recently Johnny has been acting with an earpiece. Do you know about this?
No.
So then things got personal. According to the suit, this is the legal suit, Depp paid a sound engineer like on the payroll so he could feed him lines through an earpiece while filming films. So he doesn't learn his lines anymore and has them read to him and he repeats them. This Depp does not deny him, saying that the sounds fed to him made him act with just his eyes. I've got bagpipes, a baby crying and bombs going off, says Depp. It creates a truth. Some of my biggest heroes were in silent film, Depp tells me, lighting another cigarette. It had to be behind the eyes. And my feeling is that if there's no truth behind the eyes, it doesn't matter what the fucking words are. So he paid this guy like maybe $1 million a month to just stand next to him. So in the new Pirates movie, apparently stuff, he's having his lines fed to him via an earpiece. Like,
probably the new Fantastic Beasts too.
Oh, absolutely. There's another great one. There are a few things Depp insists TMG, which is the company that's suing him, got wrong. For example, the $30,000 a month the Mendels claimed he spent on wine. That's insulting to say I spent $30,000 on wine, he says, because it was far more. By the way, he says, it was not $3 million to shoot Hunter S. Thompson to the fucking sky. It was $5 million. It's ridiculous. And then the journalist says, I checked around and he was bullshitting. Like, he didn't cost that much.
Maybe he was like adding interest.
Now, this is a bit that I've seen doing the rounds.
Adjusting for inflation.
Yeah. Depp, this is a bit I've seen doing the rounds, but we've still got to bring it up. Depp is evangelical on the uses of narcotics and thinks they could have expedited the capture of Osama bin Laden. You get a bunch of fucking planes, big fucking planes that spray shit, and you drop LSD-25, he says. You saturate the fucking place. Every single thing will walk out of their cave smiling, happy. And this comes in a week where yet today we've had the bassist of Blink-182,
Mark Hoppus,
say that he gave sound advice into the capture of Saddam Hussein. That's my new favorite genre of celebrity, like celebrities having like mad army ties or like clout in the troop world.
Mark Hoppus isn't even the crazy one from Blink-182. No, right?
Did you read what the advice was?
No, that's one of those. There are certain articles that I just file under. The article will never live up to the headline.
It was pretty good because he did a screenshot of like his notes and he's like, oh, here's the advice I gave. And it was actually really good. He's like, you drive around. He's like, I noticed Saddam Hussein time coded like his videos he would record to the public. And you get a bunch of cars driving around playing a pitch, which humans can't hear, but picks up on like magnetic devices. And then you like watch them all and you figure out where it is and you triangulate like where they are. And you like, he had a whole system worked out where if you drove around and blasted this thing, you could eventually get to appear on the time code that no one would know except if you put it there. And it was like fucking crazy. It didn't sound like that crazy.
How would he have been able to deliver that to the government?
They were over there doing like a USO show, I think, during like the Gulf occupation, which is still on. But they were over there playing, and he's like, I got alone with like someone who was like,
you got alone, or that was their banter. Like in between songs.
In between, like, yeah, yeah. He's like, guys, what you got to do up here, right? You could triangulate the vehicles. That's some wild shit.
What would you rather the film rights to? Turning this interview with Johnny Depp into a movie, or turning Blink-182?
I want like a Hurt Locker-esque, like SEAL Team 6. Man.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
I'd watch the hell out of that. One of them is more plausible as well, you know?
Are there any other choice Johnny Depp quotes you want to end this one on? Or should we
talk about... None of them are good or choice. I'm just trying to find one that... I've saved bits where it's just like a bit you read where it's like... like there are people on the payroll. He was paying people stupid money. Okay, someone... Oh... This is great. This is a bit. this must be just a conversation in the house as the interview's on. Someone mentions they can't stand Oasis. This is enough of an opening for Depp to grab an acoustic guitar and spend 20 minutes tuning it before squawking out a few notes of Wonderwall.
Johnny Depp is every cunt. How great is
that? Isn't that amazing?
So good.
This was one where he spoke about how he gave his whole house crabs once. The bit when he leaves.
Siri, find the part where Johnny Depp gives everyone crabs.
All right, I can't find it anymore. But basically, there's a bit where the ending is, and it's such a bittersweet ending that really is the real state of play. The journalist is outside going to leave, and Johnny spends 15 minutes trying to get his like private gate to open. And can't figure it out. So the guy climbs the fence and leaves. And that's how the interview ends. Like, it's like deranged rich person.
Yeah.
It's insanity. I'm fascinated by any... I think that's why I'm so obsessed with Tom Cruise at the moment. People who are just top 0.1% of
wealth.
A lifestyle which I would never be a part of. And just how they think, like how... You know, it's like, do they think like a bottle of Coca-Cola is like $60? You know what I mean? Just so far removed from having to do anything mundane.
Yeah.
Like go grocery shopping or think of recipes to cook their family that night. Just what goes in your brain? Because I mean, like, we have a finite amount of space in our brains, you know, but when you get rid of a lot of the mundane stuff that like, you know, middle class people like ourselves go through, what do you populate the rest of your brain with? And is it like the price of like these wines or how to shoot somebody into the sky when they die? It's just baffling. Like, what do you replace it with? Because you got to put something else in there if you don't have to worry about like the day to day.
Probably alcohol abuse.
It's insane, right? Or like Scientology, or just you get so far removed, you need to have some weird feeling. It's
one or the other. Which would you choose?
Scientology over alcohol abuse.
Hey, if you want some cool trivia for Hey Fam, I just got a notification that you closed all of your activity rings phone, on your watch
at 9:04,
and so did I during this episode too. So we both closed down.
How many calories you burnt? This is so bad right now.
Today I burned
1,174
cals.
Oh, that's almost double me. I've got 800. Well, not double, but it's there. We out here.
It's not bad, bro.
All I did was go to work, though. Like, that wasn't too strenuous.
Yeah, I did a wild workout this morning.
I didn't.
Let me tell you about it, everybody.
Let's not do that. What's the next thing?
Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah. You saw the dinosaur movie.
You got to do a crazy workout if you're then going to spend the rest of your day sitting in a cinema.
Yeah, maybe the dinosaurs would be here if they worked out, you know? That's all
true.
I'm saying.
Totally true. So this movie's been out for a while. Most of you have probably already seen it. I almost wasn't going to see it. Because
made you see it?
Well, it was getting kind of lousy reviews.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this last week. Like Jurassic Park movies, it was after the first one. They're not that great. Like the first one was like a technical marvel, which we established, and maybe that's why
which holds up though.
Which like, is why like T2 is still considered such an incredible movie.
Sure.
A lot of it had to do with it made you believe things you didn't see before. But Jurassic Park still holds up because it's got that like Spielberg touch and like the Johnny Williams score. It's all there. The acting's great. But the other ones, it's just after that, it kind of each other movie that's come out, they get less special, the series.
Yeah, for sure.
And they are extremely derivative.
And dull in parts too, some of them.
Oh, absolutely.
But I thought Jurassic World was like stupid, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I had fun watching it when I first saw it, and I think it was because it'd been, you know, I fell for that cocktail of nostalgia.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was also...
But it was such a lousy, like, the nostalgia that it tried to hit you with was so...
Yeah.
So surface level, like...
Yeah, and it could have been a lot more clever, and it did play with some clever things with, like, the guy working there bought a Jurassic Park shirt, which was seen in poor taste. Like, there are little moments of it being somewhat meta.
Yeah.
And I liked that, and I wish there was more of that, where it ended up just being, like, a retread of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, like, at one point they find... The original Jurassic Park truck.
The little truck, yeah.
It doesn't really do anything.
And no.
There's the hologram of the...
DNA. Of Mr. The Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, the one that kills
Newman. Yeah. But other than that, it wasn't that J.J. Abrams' Force Awakens nostalgia where it like pushed the series forward.
Totally.
It was a hear all those things you liked.
But so yeah, the reviews have not been that great for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It's currently sitting at 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that I ever really checked that, but whatever. It's a good thing to mention.
You got to mention it. You got to mention the Rotten Tomatoes.
Let me tell you how much money this movie... No, I don't know yet. I haven't looked that up. But
it's so weird. I remember when that site came out and it was like a fringe website and now it's like careers live or die on Rotten Tomatoes. It's so fucking wild how powerful that page is.
And
it's owned by like Warner Brothers, right? Which is like, even weirder.
It's more successful than any of their movies.
Yeah. I mean, good
for
them.
Which never do well on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's so funny. You can tell that. I mean, maybe their movies get reviewed so bad because they have to prove that like they're being balanced. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is directed by a director who...
J.O. Boyano.
Yeah, he's one of the awesome...
Spanish guy. The Spanish Orphanage, guys. No. That's a throwback.
Guillermo's mates. In fact, Guillermo del Toro gets a thank you in the credits.
All Spanish people know each other too.
Well, there is that like kind of like guild of...
Is the trio.
Is he in the trio?
No, he's not. He's trying to get in there. He's the... Who's the D'Artagnan of the Three Musketeers.
It's the guy who did Gravity.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro.
Alfonso Cuarón, who did Gravity and Harry Potter... and the Prisoner of Azkaban and Children of Men.
And who's the third guy?
The guy who I was trying to Google while like listing those movies slowly. So it didn't sound like I'd forgotten. You'll know he's Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu.
And what's he done?
Birdman, The Revenant.
Oh, that dude. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I say, hey, trio, why not make it this a... Square? Quattro. A square? A quattro, sure.
Being Spanish.
Yes. That totally makes sense. Because J.O. Boyana.
J.O. Boyana.
He's got the chops. Yeah. This was like, for me, the best looking and best, like most tightly done Jurassic Park movie since the first one.
Here's the thing. It's a movie about dinosaurs chasing humans. And you needed, like, if you're expecting anything else,
yeah,
you're a fucking idiot.
But from a franchise which has done too much with dinosaurs already. So yeah. It's always going to be, like, the situations are so dumb. Like, it is.
The plot is still so stupid,
but this is so well shot.
The first movie is the only movie where they could kind of just be dinosaurs and that was enough.
Yeah.
But there's dinosaurs, like, I think it needs to be this level of ridiculous to keep you interested because nothing like having a photorealistic looking thing now is not like that special in a film. You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately, and Jurassic World kind of touched on that, but not well. In better hands, it would have executed that better with like the scene we talked about where they're at the T-Rex pen, but the kid's on his phone.
Mm.
Like,
no one gives a shit.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Jurassic World was just still very much following the beats of the Jurassic Park movies before. But this, I don't know, this one just was like a true middle chapter doing new things and kind of like not as hardcore as The Last Jedi did, but burning important plot points for the other series down, literally, and just taking it into new places, which... It just, to me, is like, oh, I'm excited now to see what the fuck
this
third
movie. The Last Jedi of Jurassic Park movies.
No, it totally is. I mean, I don't think it's anywhere near as good.
No, but like it actually...
It is.
It burns.
I know.
Let's go with the past. It burns it because it has to.
Within the first half, Jurassic World, it no longer exists. It's completely burnt by a Deus Ex Machina, a volcano.
A volcano is destroying Jurassic World.
And then for the first time, they're viewed as like endangered animals, which is kind of good because I liked that. It was a different way of looking at them. They needed preservation as opposed to these like cloned things that were just made to generate cash.
I'm just thinking about the first Jurassic World. If kids like phones so much, instead of making dinosaurs that are scarier, why not just make dinosaurs that are also phones?
That a phone and you can put in your ass. Just for some...
Okay, just randomly?
Yeah. Sometimes you want to stick a phone in your
ass. Kids love putting things in their butts.
Kids love three things: dinosaurs, phones, and butt play. Here's a dinosaur. It's a phone. Kind of looks like a phone. It's got a mouth. It's like the Flintstones. Look, the Flintstones laid down the...
Don't think about this too much.
But then also...
What dinosaur shape would you like your butt more?
Stegosaurus. Triceratops.
What's the weird...
I want to feel it.
What's the weird nuggety one that has armor on its back?
No, that's the actual animal, the armadillo.
Yeah.
The Ankylosaurus? I think it's Ankylosaurus.
That'd be pretty nice.
That'd be cool. Get in a ball, roll that one up there, then pull it out. I'm more into the Brachiosaurus is a no-brainer for those vanilla people.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm more about that Triceratops. I want that horn. I want that wide-ass crown. I want to feel that. It's like the pineapple of dinosaurs.
You know how you get like the double-ended dildo? So one...
Yes, I do know.
Yeah. Like a Triceratops one where there's just a third. And you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this third thing?
Where is all? Get over here. I got sad when that dinosaur was left on the island.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Yeah.
We're going to do light spoilers of... The dinosaurs are in this movie. But I just think as a whole, like, I think this movie was...
It has a big tonal shift halfway through, which is completely by design. Like, that's not a mistake.
And I was like, this is like a classic case of... Going in, I thought this was going to be a classic case of knowing everything that was going to happen in the movie from the trailer.
Yeah.
But, well, they definitely showed you too much of it. But, like, it actually... The movie is decidedly different in tone and in structure than the trailer.
It makes you think
trailer.
A lot of it is set on Jurassic World. It's not. Like, less than a third... Maybe a third of the film is set on the site that was Jurassic World.
Yeah, and, like, you get, like, one of the bigger action climaxes of the movie, like, you know...
Immediately.
More than halfway less than halfway into it.
Yeah, the pacing was different to your usual Jurassic Park film. Definitely. Which is always about set offshore and then the, oh wow, we're here moment. You know, like, it was a lot of finally ripping away that formula, which again, lesser extent version of The Last Jedi.
And a great deal of it is like the direction is like straight out of a horror movie. Like opening scene underwater.
How good was that cold open?
Maybe my favorite opening scene from a Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is easily. It was almost like a Bond movie opening or something. It was just, it was great seeing these characters that you know are going to be like toast in a few moments, but it felt great. Like when the T-Rex is chasing that helicopter, like hooks on.
Oh, so good.
Like starts, but it's so good.
And I just love that, like, this movie fucking loves the T-Rex. Like
it's the old T-Rex
as well.
It's
so proud of its T-Rex.
And, you know, even I rewatched it before. So like Jurassic World whips out the T-Rex at the end.
It's the most glorious moment of that movie.
And it's the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, which is the best thing. It's just like just this old 30-year-old T-Rex, which is just like, because I mean, I'm glad the T-Rex still features.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Be sad if the T-Rex was just cast aside, you know?
Yeah.
For these newer dinosaurs.
Left to be burnt on an island.
So we find out, and there's like a cloning subplot, which was kind of unexpected, but also makes perfect sense in a movie about cloning.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like the cast as a whole were pretty good.
Yeah, they did what they needed. You know, they couldn't be scared.
Dr. Wu.
Yeah, I love Dr. Wu is like the only person who's really had like character development in all of the films.
Yeah, he's just gotten more and more evil as he goes on.
Yeah, love that he's a part of it.
That, like, you know, you were complaining.
B.D. Wong?
Yeah, it's his name.
Yeah.
That Jeff Goldblum's scenes feel like they were filmed in 1 hour.
Oh,
like,
probably, yeah, definitely 1 hour.
But I don't know what more you do with Jeff Goldblum
in this
movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. You don't need them anymore.
He's like, not really an action hero. He's just like, you know, unless he's sent somewhere to die. Like, same as like if John Hammond was still alive, you wouldn't try and shoehorn him in every movie anymore.
No, you wouldn't. It's about the dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I like that he was involved. Was he in Jurassic World as well doing similar?
No,
right.
He wasn't.
Wonder if, do you reckon Sam, could you reckon they could work out how to make Sam Neill in this again?
I don't know. Yeah, I guarantee they're trying, or at least Laura Dern.
Yeah. The next Jurassic World movie, they really
it is a Jurassic World.
They've changed some shit up. I think I'm
it'll be a Jurassic World.
I'm really stoked that I went and saw it. If you're on the fence about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom,
it's just dumb fun. And it's like, I love the fact that the second half is set in an evil mansion in the woods where there's dinosaurs.
It's so much fun.
How cool is the dude with the horn head like ramming walls down?
So rad.
Like, it's, I loved all that shit. Yeah, I was like, this is sick.
And
I was
like pushing people up in the air and shit. That's so much fun.
I love that. It was really great. And like, of course there's weird hybrid new dinosaurs. Like, that's what kids need now. If you want to be meta, like, you know, they're sick of the brachiosauruses and the stegosaurus, and they need like crazy killing things.
They need dinosaurs that are phones that you can put up your butt.
And like, I want one now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, the whole black market subplot, like, stupid as hell. But also I was like, yeah, man, I'm here for this.
And it just really easily just goes like, yeah, how bad are these, like, these humans? Like, I bet you can't wait for them to die.
And then they all die.
And like
that bit when the elevator's opening. And
oh my God, fuck.
There's brilliant. Just some cool horror tropes.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
That they played on really well, which you haven't really seen since the first Jurassic Park, like in the kitchen
with
the raptors. Yeah. And like, you haven't really seen horror.
There's one really sadistic moment in Jurassic World where the
first one. When the pterodactyl carries the person around, and then
the personal assistant who was obsessed with her phone.
Yeah,
was not also a dinosaur.
Makes you think though, huh?
And not in her butt.
I mean, I'd put her in my butt if she was thinking about a dinosaur. That's the next best thing. But then like, it's tossed around between all these pterodactyls, then eaten by the big boy. That was fun.
But like, that was like the one like holy shit moment in that entire movie.
That's why I watch these movies. I want to see people get obliterated by it. Like, totally. I don't care about the humans at all.
Yeah. But like, I really enjoyed my time with this. I gotta say, as a whole, love a fucking double feature.
Yeah,
double features are great. Two big multi-million-dollar action movies,
and they do the right things to make you hate the humans, like that piece of shit who rips the teeth out.
Oh my God! Yeah,
yeah. How good was two? Like, when the lava just erupts, and you're like, "Oh, this is happening now." And
this is happening like shot, 20 minutes in,
and he's shot and like laying on the ground. Yeah. And you're like, "What the hell?" Like, that's that from that moment. I was like, "Oh, this is not what I thought the movie was going to be like." And that underwater sequence when like the balls from the first movie and they're like underwater.
Yeah,
I was just like, "Oh, that was cool." Like, then you see all these like fucking drowning dinosaurs.
Yeah,
that like destroyed me. It was sad.
People were crying in my cinema.
Man, I mean, there's a nice moment here. I mean, the first dinosaur we ever see in any Jurassic Park is the Brachiosaurus.
Yep.
Which we know so well from the opening of Nirvana the Band, the show. But to see that as the last dinosaur left on the island, as it's like burning, and then that's just like a really sad shot. Like, that's something I don't think I can watch again soon. That scene, I found that really sad.
Well,
which is so stupid. The movie ends with just like...
It's
been out for 3 weeks.
I saw it today. You can't spoil a movie that I only just saw today.
Yeah, you can. Because you saw it late.
Do you want to do time codes?
No.
Because like, I reckon the majority of our listeners haven't watched Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
I think that's
Kingdom.
A lie. Well, we'll talk about it next week. You've been warned. Are you excited for the weird new Brave World that Jurassic World is And it, you know, the Colin Trevorrow, after his resume being very scrubbed recently of a certain project and being very available, he's doing the third, and he's like,
so yes, he is, right.
But he's like, the third movie is exactly what the ending is. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, cool. Sick.
Are you there for it?
Of course, I'm super there for that.
It's kind of what
I want to see it opening night now. I'm like right back on board with this franchise.
I'm just bummed that J.O. Bayana's not making it, because I think was such a shame. That shot.
This is another reason why this is The Last Jedi, because it's gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trevorrow is. Do you think they're watching? Abrams.
Do you think they're watching?
What do you mean?
Universal, is it? They're like,
we've got to give it back to the first guy again. Yeah. Boring guy.
They're probably bummed that there isn't public outcry from original fanboys, because they're just like,
remake,
not my T-Rex,
remake Fallen Kingdom.
My T-Rex wouldn't hyperspace raised... jump through Jurassic World to save everybody. in my Jurassic Park, Ian Malcolm would be milking cows on an old farm. It's really sad he's not doing that.
Yeah, John Hammond's still around, and he drinks blue titty milk straight from the Ankylosaurus.
Man, yeah, I was into it.
Yeah, me too. I really recommend seeing
it. It was dumb as hell, right?
It was dumb as shit, but it loved it. It there was a lot of.
Were you surprised at how dumb it was? Like, not dumb. When I say dumb, I mean like batshit. Were you surprised that they were kind of like, yeah, you can go do this? Like,
yeah.
They weren't as protective of like, oh, it's going to be like this very, like, you know, oh, the big dinosaur reveal 40 minutes in, like, you know, follow the Jurassic Park.
I love that it felt like it was a big change up in format.
Yeah, it was so good. I'm just super bummed he's not doing the third film.
But hopefully he'll do something even better next.
Yeah. Give him like a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie or something. You know?
Totally. Give him a new trilogy of Star Wars movies.
Hey, they're giving them out now. Dinosaur phone.
If you're a man in Hollywood, you can get one any day.
Yeah, absolutely. He's brown though, so.
So let's talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp. This is the
definitely
latest.
A movie you could put in your ass. Not the movie. I mean the heroes. Hero. They're very small.
Yeah, they might be up there right now. You'd have no idea.
You wouldn't know.
I actually call my butthole the quantum, the quantum realm.
Let me make you think. Maybe we're all inside one big butthole.
Oh, fuck, that's insane. Maybe we're all inside my quantum realm.
And that wasn't a quote from the Johnny Depp article.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, aka Iron Man 21.
Iron Man 21, is
or
it?
Is it 20? Iron Man 20.
Yeah, Iron Man 20. Iron Man 20. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah.
The 19th sequel to Iron Man.
So wild. And I mean, Tony Stark, once again, spoiler, is not in this, but very bold that he's not in it, right?
Yeah. But this is
Peyton Reed back again.
Peyton Reed, of course, had to take the scraps that that had been filmed already by Edgar Wright when he was when he quit the first Ant-Man movie.
Well, and quit was let go. I mean, what is it?
Everyone was like quite surprised at what a good movie Ant-Man ended up being, and a lot of that credit went to Edgar Wright. But then later, more people found out that actually it was Peyton Reed who put in a lot of everyone's favorite jokes.
Yeah, a lot of the moments that people actually thought were Edgar Wright, like the fight in the suitcase with the iPod playing, Disintegration and stuff like that, was Peyton Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's another really great music joke in Ant-Man and the Wasp too. All the Morrissey stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Morrissey stuff. Yeah, yeah. With Michael Peña's character, Luis.
Yeah, so Peyton Reed is back, and
the whole cast of the first movie is back, essentially.
Plus, and it's such a hilarious cast. Like, I watched
varied as well.
I watched the trailer, but I forgot. I didn't realize that like Walter Goggins was in this movie.
I had no idea until you and I were sitting there, and it was showing that kind of splash screen before the movie started, saying like "Welcome to the Ant-Man premiere." And I was like, "Oh, is that guy in the bottom left? Is that Walton Goggins?"
But then I also forgot who else was already in the cast.
Michael Peña.
I knew Peña was in
T.I.
I forgot that T.I. was in so Ant-Man's crew.
I forgot T.I. was in Ant-Man.
That Scott Lang's ex-wife is Judy Greer. That's and right. Her current husband is Bobby Cannavale.
Who's so good in it.
Like, so many good performances.
He's so good in this too. I love the fact he like loves him now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like ex-wife's current husband loves Scott.
So much fun. So this is a movie that is out in most parts of the world right now, except the UK, because of World Cup or some bullshit.
It's amazing.
So if you have not seen the movie yet, or you won't be able to see it for a month, hit pause, come back in a month's time.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do some spoilers. You know what Angus is like, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I've started talking about dinosaur butt phones. I'm ready to ruin anything. Did you like it, first of all?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's really, really fun. And like you mentioned, like Fallen Kingdom being like dumb.
Yeah. this is smart.
This is, yes, yeah, so, but it's like, it is so silly. And, yeah. And I was surprised that this movie, like at one point, Paul Rudd is running around in kids' clothes because he gets stuck
so weird
in this bizarre
middle. He's not quite Ant-Man, or he's not quite at his usual size.
He
he's
also like, does, like, I like, obviously, like, you know, it's CGI, it's effects, whatever, when he shrinks and grows big, but he looks like
looks like a kid because he's got such a baby. No,
I don't think he does, though. Like, that's so, I'm not criticizing it. It made me laugh so much. It was weird. It looked like a Tom Goes to the Moon.
It was like Hobbit shit.
Yeah. But yeah, it was very just like this mini version of Paul Rudd running around in
a hoodie. Weird.
And I was like, I cannot believe that this is in an MCU movie.
It's so interesting to have like a lightweight. I mean, Homecoming's lightweight. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, to an extent, was lightweight. But we've had Black Panther and Infinity War this year, also known as Iron Man 18 and 19. And they're like probably the most serious of the Marvel movies in a very long time.
Yep.
Like probably the most serious ones in a very long time.
Very, very somber.
So it was nice to go back and have like, you know, it was the reason why I liked Solo 2. It was just like low stakes.
Sure.
Like the whole thing was like the MacGuffin was like, you know, an office essentially. Like, we need to get this lab. Like that, yeah, and everyone totally was after this one lab. And
none
of the one you see in the trailer, that, you know, the one that he, it was like, I thought it was just a bit in the first trailer where he shrinks their office space.
I was going to count how many MCU movies there are so far.
Oh, it's the 20th.
Is it 20th? You can do it without telling me that you're doing it.
Yeah, I know. I'm much better at multitasking than most people.
You're much better at spectrum behavior than I am.
Oh, I'm on it constantly. I'm on a few at once. I'm on many. Where is all? I'm on them all. I'm in the quantum
where realm. Is all the spectrums?
Where is all? Drop a spectrum. I'm there. You'll always find me on the spectrum. And it's like the MacGuffin. It's like everyone just wants this piece of technology you don't really know too much about. It's great, and it's just everyone in the movie wants it.
It's like I feel like this gets bandied around, but it's like it felt like a heist movie where there's lots of different teams after the same thing, and you follow them, you know, entering and re-entering and leaving the plot and coming back when you know, just when at the funniest possible time.
Just like low stakes.
Yeah.
Personal stakes. You know, it's all about, it opens with the scene, kind of like a replays through that scene in the first Ant-Man where you see Hank Pym as the original Ant-Man and his wife, Michelle Pfeiffer. We now retconned as Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yep.
Trying to stop like a missile attack and her disappearance to the quantum realm.
She goes subatomic.
She goes subatomic where she's been for 30 odd years. And it's about getting back mom.
Yeah, but that's just like one of the goals of this movie.
Yeah.
Scott is on house arrest.
Doesn't it? With Civil Wars. So it's set 2 years after Civil War.
Yep. He's been on house arrest. He made a deal with the government, German government and the FBI. And he has to do 2 years on house arrest, and then he has to do 3 years of community service.
Who plays Detective Wu?
I'll look that up. I'm surprised you haven't already. Is that it?
That is it?
Rayman Legends.
Rayman Legends, the Ubisoft adventure. Randall Park, not Rayman Park. Randall Park. who you know, played Kim Jong-un in The Interview.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah,
Randall. I knew I've never seen that. Is it worth seeing?
Probably not.
generally like their movies.
Probably not. He was great. He's a great addition to the MCU.
Man, he's so funny.
I mean, who else do we have?
He's my MVP of the movie.
Yeah?
The FBI.
His obsession with magic.
So funny.
Yeah.
I just like, I think all the jokes really hit on this.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Is it the same writers?
Maybe. Who wrote it? I mean, Paul Rudd's a credited. Someone with the surname Ferrari is a credited writer. So a car wrote parts of it. There's a lot of cars in the movie. That makes sense.
Heaps of Hot Wheels cars. Does it say who wrote it? Written by Chris McKenna, Eric Summers, Paul Rudd, Andrew Barra, and Gabrielle Ferrari. And Chris McKenna is someone who's written for American Dad before.
Hell yeah. And I knew I recognized that brand of humor somewhat.
His first feature film credit is on the movie Igor.
Yeah, wow.
So he's come a long way.
Oh, I forgot to talk about Jurassic Park trivia.
Oh, we can do it after we hit this movie. We'll do some Jurassic Park trivia at the end.
No, I was going to... This, it takes one sentence. I was going to say is like, if you want to see the Venn diagram of fucking idiotic movie nerds and hardcore dinosaur nerds, go to any of the Jurassic Park IMDb trivia pages. It is that each one has 300 plus entries, and they're just like, this dinosaur, like Latin name, marks it. It's the 27th biggest dinosaur in any of the Jurassic Park movies canonically. However, in the video game, and it's like, it's just people who are obsessed with dinosaurs and obsessed with movie facts. The cross section is the IMDb Jurassic Park pages. There's some fucking doozies there. Like, it's like, where is all the spectrum? It is here. They are all there. And it's just, this is the 13th biggest dinosaur in the whole franchise, but the fourth biggest dinosaur in this particular movie. And I'm just like, you idiots aren't archaeologists. You're just like dickheads with dinosaur books. It's amazing. I got trapped in there looking at it. That's all it is. If you want to have some fun, go have a look at the Jurassic. Drop some fake trivia in there and see what happens.
Share your favorite trivia with Angus.
Don't share it with me.
At Chimichangas. His address is...
Don't share. I'm going to delete it and block you. Okay, but great. Just keep it to yourself, but pretend to share it with me.
share it with someone else named Angus. Share it with a
stranger.
Life.
Turn to the stranger next to you right now and share your favorite Jurassic Park fact with them.
Angus, stop talking about big things. I want to talk about little things.
Go ahead.
In general, ants or dinosaurs? Who would you?
Dinosaurs, way much.
What would you rather put in your butt?
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, yeah, cool.
Ants would be super annoying.
Yeah, ants could be up there right now.
I mean, we would never know. I'd hope to know.
So this movie, of course, as seen on the title of the movie, it features a much bigger role for Evangeline.
This is one Jurassic Park trivia page. That was about 40 scrolls.
Trying to get it back on track.
I know.
Is it Evangeline Lilly?
Yeah.
Her character of the Wasp has a starring much bigger role this time around.
Hope Van Dyne. So what, did they never get married? Or did they divorce?
Maybe she took her mother's.
It was the progressive 80s as well.
Yep.
People didn't change names.
Is that the 80s or is it the 90s?
The 80s at the start in right. S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
The first one starts at the end of the 80s.
Right. Damn it. I was hoping that we could get... How amazing would it be if like a de-aged Michelle Pfeiffer is in Captain Marvel, but that's set in the 90s?
Yeah. Hank Pym will probably be in it.
I hope so. Like, yeah. And Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, Fishman.
The fish. Big fish.
Big fish. Real Johnny Depp. Real big fish. I like the fish man.
Me too. It was nice seeing him there.
Yeah, I saw him in John Wick 2 last night.
I like seeing de-aged fish man as well.
Yeah.
In the
like, oh, just put on the Matrix.
The Marvel de-aging Ray is
good. It's getting big. It's good. Yeah, I know Downey Jr. freaks you out at the start of Civil War.
Like in a nice way.
Yeah.
Like he's someone that I want to hang out with.
Michael Douglas looks insane. Like young Michael Douglas is pretty, it looks like young Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Fishman just got a wig on. Michelle Pfeiffer looked like Michelle Pfeiffer. And I could do this for hours. Yeah. I can name an old actor and most of them have got the same name when they weren't de-aged.
True. Man, when they find Michelle Pfeiffer at the end, she looks so amazing.
She looked great.
She got gorgeous eyes.
She got nice cheeks.
Michael Pena?
Michael
He's got Pena, nice eyes. Nice eyes as well.
Yeah.
And also Michael... the fucking Michael Keaton,
nice great eyes.
Michael Jackson,
great eyes.
Pretty great eyes.
Good eyes. Michael Jordan, nice eyes.
Yeah, really good eyes.
I wonder what they look like younger and what their names were.
Who plays Hank Pym?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
At the car.
Shit eyes. No, just you're kidding. Not into those beautiful. Eyes.
I like seeing a lot of old people in this movie.
Yeah.
Where is all seniors? They're in Ant-Man.
What did you think of Ghost?
Yeah, in a year of good Marvel villains, they're definitely the weakest in a long time.
I think I liked that it
but
was
But not really
like,
a villain.
Exactly. I liked that no one was like a big bad. Well, they all have agendas that kind of like, you know, she's got a dark past and she's prone to violence.
Well, I liked
finding
out, I wanted more of that. Like I want to see more of her back then. Like she was almost, you know, this is spoilers, right, for Ant-Man? Yeah, you've already said that. Yeah. Wait, so how can we spoil a movie that's not out yet, but we couldn't spoil Jurassic World? There's some weird laws going on
here.
Well,
I don't know. I feel like we didn't give a spoiler warning for Jurassic World.
I was giving them. that's, what's the word? Hypocritical. But she was like S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Winter Soldier, essentially.
Yeah, totally.
Which I was like very into that notion. I wish, hopefully we see more of that in another movie.
Captain Marvel.
Like, yeah, totally. Oh, she would have been a kid though.
Yeah, Kid Ghost.
Hell yeah, Kid Ghost. Casper
ripping out people's throats.
Yeah.
With the cool phasing powers.
Yeah, she was more. She wasn't a villain. There wasn't really a villain in this movie. I mean, the villain was the man, if anything.
Well, Walton Goggins and his crew.
I mean, he was kind of a villain. Yeah, he was threatening, but I mean, not even then. Like, the villain, like, was maybe Randall Park, like the FBI making sure.
It was the other FBI guy was the villain.
The Sokovia Accords were the villain.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Thanos was actually the villain.
Well,
because this has a mid-credit scene, which I was like,
we'll save it for later. I mean, we'll go in that one at the end.
I've teased that there is a mid-credit scene.
I'm now telling you, you've told me I couldn't spoil a month-old movie. And now I'm going to tell you, you can't spoil the ending until a little bit later. You just got to realize how weird that is, that this movie's not even out and we're going...
Because it's an Ant-Man and the Wasp episode.
But you realize most people saw Jurassic World.
Someone last week complained that you've spoiled something in a Predator in a trailer.
I've spoken to them personally.
Good.
And I think that's stupid. I mentioned it, like, what do? You cover your eyes and ears when the trailer comes on? I feel sorry for you. Ant-Man, Wasp.
Can we talk about the mid-credit scene?
No, we'll save that.
What?
Obvious. I'm teasing it. I'm making people listen longer.
Okay. He works in radio. I've got to trust him.
TSL, time spent listening. We've mentioned it. Now you're going, ooh, what is it?
It's funny reviewing a movie like this, though, because it is like, it's just like solid comedy. The plot doesn't really matter.
No.
So it's hard for me to kind of talk at length about it.
Yeah, it's just enjoyable. Like,
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
It's very much... And I mean this the nicest way possible. It's the sequel to 2015's Ant-Man.
Mm.
It's pretty much that. It's nice. It feels like it's the product of a singular vision. I did get that more so than the first
Absolutely.
Film.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a funnier movie because of that. The humor is just... It works.
Yeah.
All the characters have their own thing going on. It's not just it doesn't just feel like, okay, quickly someone go write quips for all the characters.
Yeah, everyone's used to their talents, especially like Michael Peña does his Michael Peña stuff, like his fast delivery, and Paul Rudd does his great Paul Rudd, which is kind of like, I'm a bit confused about what's going on a lot of the time, but it's charming.
He was fantastic in this.
He was great.
Yeah, really, I feel like
he's so likable.
There's a lot of schmaltzy moments in this movie that are saved because like Paul Rudd is just likable.
They pull it off so
especially well. Like, it's really difficult to do convincing father-daughter stuff, and like, especially with child actors.
Yeah.
Especially when you think about Iron Man 3, like, I fucking hated that kid.
You hate that kid so much. You made him get sick, and then you made him somehow reverse engineer you to being his Make-A-Wish, and you got there and you told him he sucked and left. And I think that's still one of the coolest things you've ever done.
Ice cold.
It's so ice cold.
But I really loved Cassie.
She's great. Yeah. If more kids need to take a fucking leaf out of her book. Don't act like an adult. She acts like a kid.
Totally. And she was really sweet. And there's like probably the nicest moment of the entire movie is when she says that she wants to be her dad's partner.
Yeah,
and like,
it's very sweet.
It brought tears to my eyes. It could have been so like, ugh, shut up. It was a really genuine, nice moment.
I think it was nice too, because he kind of opens up. You forget the first Ant-Man, he's like in prison at the start.
Yeah.
In this one, like, everyone likes him. His ex-wife, his ex-wife's husband. Like, he's just... even, like, the FBI guy likes him, who's Randall Park likes him. Like,
I loved Judy Greer's bit of...
Yeah, what does FBI stand for?
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I was a bit bummed she didn't say female body inspector, because I was, as you know, I was wearing, as always, my female body inspector shirt. And I was about to stand up and say, hoorah. And, oh man, how weird was the kid tried running into our preview?
Oh yeah, so we saw a preview screening, premiere preview screen, where they give us the absolute gift of seeing the movie 12 hours before the rest of the world.
Yeah,
unless
great.
You live in UK, 1 month and 12 hours before the UK.
Unbelievable.
But
that's what you get for imperialism.
5 minutes before the movie started, we start hearing this like, get off me!
Like, and it was a weird noise.
It was like a little kid. I was a teenager. Like,
what? And everyone gets alarmed if anyone says that, especially if a kid says that.
It was a tweenager, actually.
I do too.
And it was a kid trying to sneak into the movie that and two security guards went
like. He had like a beanie on and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's like two guards like carried him out, and he's like, you're hurting me. Just like, no shit, man. We're like 100 kilos. We're like on top of you. What did you think was going to have an Ant-Man?
Also in front of us was someone that we very nearly asked. We were just going to give them, hey fam, like, this looked, is yours now, you've earned this.
Yeah, he looked like, the best way to describe it is like a, he would have been in like upper middle management at an American firm, like an American dad, like a dad on a sitcom.
American dad, right? Like the guy, the guy show who wrote that, it. Wrote it, yeah.
And he was American, wasn't he?
He was. This American guy, he was in front of us, and his wife
had silver hair.
His wife gave him a packet of red vines, and he was losing his mind because he hasn't had red vines.
It was like a Nardwuar moment for him. Like, yeah, it was totally. as if his wife had discovered like and the school like, play he was in and got him the playbill.
Shaking the bag in her face with such excitement. And he goes, okay, well, I got to take off for 10 minutes. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
No, he goes, we're going for burgers after this.
That's right. So yeah.
He goes, red vines, where'd you get those? Wow. And he's like, $4? That's amazing. And then he's like, let's get burgers after the movie. And then the movie hasn't even started.
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll see you in 10 minutes, okay? To his wife. Then walked past his
kids.
And then was like, yeah, I'll see you soon. I got to take a leak. And then he bumped into someone on the way out. And he goes, oh,
sorry, buddy.
Sorry, bro.
And he looked great. He was wearing like a tie and like a suit, basically. He looks like real formal dad, but just like was reduced to a child because he saw red vines. And then I reckon he was so excited he needed to piss. I think he brought that on.
Yeah. And then 5 minutes later, he was back in his chair and his entire family was eating red vines.
It was so wholesome.
And like waving them around in the air and shit.
I loved it. I felt like I wanted to be adopted for the first time. That was so wholesome. If you try to see a movie, make sure you go see it with family. I liked how present Michael Douglas was. I know when they have like an elder statesman, if you will, in a Marvel movie, they're relegated to like some Professor X shit.
Black Panther's mum.
Yeah, but he's like in every scene.
Yeah, yeah. And it has as many goofs and even action moments as the others.
Like, I thought that was super cool to see.
Obviously, he's not doing fucking kung fu or anything like that, but he's involved.
When they're captured by someone, he's captured. Or when they're arrested, he's arrested. Like, he's not the kind of wise guy. Like, I thought that was like, kind of refreshing to see, like different older faces.
Yeah, they were a team.
Yeah, I really liked that. I thought that I'm glad that how present he was in it because, you know, he also is Ant-Man, which I think is important. Yeah,
he puts on the suit.
He puts on the suit. Yeah.
This movie also contains my favorite, Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
Where what's the line? His car gets shrunk.
There's a car chase, and they're like, you've seen a bit of it in the trailer where like the Pez dispenser's flying around, and it's like a lot. It's a very good car chase with things changing so size. Fun. Like the logistics of it's fun to think about, but one of the the PIM technology blast, like
PIM particles.
PIM particle. He goes to Stan Lee's on the sidewalk about to get into his own car, and his car like shrinks, reduces in front of him, and he says, well, the 60s were a lot of fun, but I'm paying for it now. Something like that. The 60s were a fun. It's such an insane, like almost non sequitur.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it was. And it was one of the weirdly like best delivered lines by Stan Lee.
Yeah, because normally it's like, oh, there goes the neighborhood. Yeah. Like,
damn spider guy, stuff like that. And it's just like, no, I did hella drugs.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, that was very, very good.
Yeah. And yeah.
Michael Douglas, when he's wearing his FBI outfit, kind of looked like Stan Lee.
That was so true when you were like, oh, this is Stan Lee cameo. Then I was like, fuck, maybe it is. Have they stopped doing them?
Yeah. I was thinking that too. It would have been great if Michael Douglas bumped into Stan Lee wearing the same outfit.
Oh, shit. Hey, sidebar. How will you feel when there's no Stan Lee cameos?
Like, you know.
Fine.
Time moves on.
Yeah, I'm extremely fine with it. In fact, if they want to stop doing it even now, that's fine by me also.
Yeah. I mean, if the final one is the last one in Phase 3.
What happened? What was his cameo in Infinity War?
He says,
he's on Earth.
Cap, I don't feel so good.
That's how good it would be if that's his last one. They finally just say,
60s were a fun time, but I don't feel so good.
And it just disappears. That'd be great. Maybe that's his actual death. That would be wild. He's not fake, caught on film.
Yeah.
Yeah, real live shit.
I think he's probably driving a bus or some shit. He's always driving a bus.
I think you're right. I think he's the school bus driver. On.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, damn aliens. He's so shit in the, like, for a guy who's like got heaps of Marvel, he needs to pull his weight, seriously. He's so shit in every Marvel movie. Yeah. This is the first time it took Iron Man 20 delivery. For him to get just, like, good.
Yeah. He needs to get into method.
I had a lot of... Yeah, he should. Well, maybe Michael Douglas.
Imagine if Stan Lee was a method actor. He really like demanded that he learn he's playing how, like... He's like, they've got to delay the movie filming for like another month because he's demanding that he needs to learn how to drive a bus.
Or he's been like, oh, he's actually been method for the last 10 years. He plays like a demented old rich guy. Like he's just been researching it for years for people who are trying to steal his money.
He's actually 21.
Yeah. He pulls it off. Johnny Depp. And they're like, wow, we're wondering why he had tuna and corn sandwiches on set every day. Tuna and corn, that's, tuna and corn and gold. You idiot, it cost a lot more. Do you ever, you don't want to, I don't.
It's gonna be like, please, do you ever, can you
know, like, do you ever read an article with a weird food, like Johnny Depp's tuna and corn, and go, I want to eat that, just to...
Yeah, I mean, I want Johnny Depp's personal chef to cook it for me.
Do you think there's mayo? Do you think he's a mayo man?
Yeah, I reckon it's like a classic American sandwich. Tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah.
White bread. I reckon they've mixed the mayonnaise they've got a through tuna the mix. Tuna and the corn through that too.
Do you reckon it's toasted?
No, just no. Like soft white bread.
They're big on tuna mix, aren't they, in the States?
I reckon maybe a cheese slice.
Yeah, tuna, I think a cheese slice. Corn you can tell he imports like American cheese.
Maybe some lemon pepper.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound too bad.
I just sold myself. I'm pretty
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like the movie. I really did. I can't wait to. We're speaking. Then we see the movie together, and then we go see the movie as lovers with our respected significant others. And I'm looking forward to that second viewing.
Yeah, definitely. I'm also like, I really think that this franchise, even more so than like another Cap or Thor or an Iron Man movie, I just can just see them just doing like fun, goofy crime.
It has more legs, and I think with that's
technology and. Bullshit like that.
As soon as it ended, one of the things I said to you was like, I liked how science focused it was. That is, yeah.
Yeah, because you can do all these big, dumb science terms if you have a character that's always making fun of that.
Yeah, which is Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is the guy who's accidentally become Ant-Man because he's good at like breaking into places.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to have low stakes amidst like big.
Yeah, no, they finally did it.
Yeah, it was fun. And like, you know, there's even that moment where I was kind of like, oh man, when you kind of see how the fish man is kind of in cahoots with Ghost, but it's not that. It's just like a guy who cared for someone who wasn't well. And there's like, I was bummed for that minute. I'm like, oh no, don't tell me he's bad. But then like, oh no, he's not. Like no one's actually bad in this.
No. And like, you know, the Ghost wants to not feel pain anymore.
I mean, yeah, it made me. I that like spoke a lot to me. Seriously.
Goggins' character just wanted that tech.
He wanted that. He was over Bitcoin, baby. That's the next thing.
Bitcoin's over.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like it was, you know, it's not going to set the world on fire by any means, and I think they know that. But Ant-Man was never going to. Ant-Man was always. I just like to remind me of like it was very comic, very comic book. Yeah, comic book. Terms that you don't know what they are, but they're a MacGuffin essentially, and you're like, oh, cool! I can't wait for that shit.
Yeah.
So Michelle Pfeiffer, when he goes subatomic and retrieves her finally, mm-hmm. Is that something, what shit she's doing with her hands? Is that something that's occurred in the comics before?
No, that's a new thing.
I thought so.
But that's just comic book bullshit though.
Yeah.
Just like she put her hands on people's who are out of phase. Well, I think she
was so subatomic for so long. She could
control the quantic energy, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Totally. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Where it doesn't look like she can do it anymore because... The post-credit scene was when they send Ant-Man.
What's mid-credit scene?
Mid-credit scene.
Do you want to talk about the post-credit scene first?
No, we'll talk about that after this episode when it's done. But mid-credit scene, Ant-Man goes back and they're like, we've got to go get some subatomic stuff to help with Ghost's like regular...
Yeah, she needs a ghost of quantic...
Healing,
yeah. And so
he jumps in
and they're like, okay, you can bring me back now, guys.
He's standing there with Michelle Pfeiffer. What's her name again? Janet.
Janet Van Dyne, Hope Van Dyne.
Janet, Hope, and Hank. And they're like, see in a minute, you jump in there into the quantum realm and subatomic realm or whatever.
We'll pull you back out.
And he's in there and he's like, haha, very funny, guys. I'm ready to come out. Cut to outside where he was a moment ago and Ash.
Yeah.
Which was very well done.
Really well done. So Ant-Man is currently trapped in the quantic realm, the subatomic realm. Do you think he will be in Avengers 4 now?
I mean, maybe.
Like, do you
maybe he discovers the other half is somewhere in another realm because he's in there. A
fucking good point.
Maybe Ant-Man discovers like where everyone's disappeared to.
Or just Red Skull's there now.
Yeah, Red Skull's there as the Grim Reaper.
They Melvin'd me.
Yeah, he's there. Where is all? He'll come out and say, where is all? Drop a pick.
And then we also got our first glimpse of what the rest of the world is doing after Thanos snaps his fingers.
They're not broadcasting television because there was a...
That was the one thing. Like, they're kind of... there's an emergency broadcast over the television.
And one of the ants is still alive.
Yeah, one of the ants is still alive and playing the drums.
Which I thought was nice.
Everyone else has been clicked away.
Yeah.
I think it was really clever releasing this after Infinity War. Even though, for the most part, it's set either before or concurrently.
Yeah.
Totally before.
That bit got a lot of moments because everyone was like, oh yeah, Infinity War happened. And
yeah.
Yeah, wow. I liked seeing. I really liked the giant man scene.
Yeah, of course, that was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
It helps that when Tim Heidecker is in anything.
Oh, that's a great cameo by Tim Heidecker, which is also fueling huge plot points on this season of On Cinema. As we all know, 3 years ago, Greg Turkington, Tim Heidecker's partner on the YouTube series On Cinema, was in Ant-Man, which Tim did not like one bit and was not calling it a real movie, and that, and now. Just amazingly enough, he's now been cast as he's friends with the director and they're in there and it's just, they're feuding about it and stuff. And Greg at the premiere wore a shirt that said like something about Tim and like is in all like Getty photos of him. Like it's all content for their show. It's just so good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's so great. I was bummed that Greg Turkington wasn't in it as well. Because remember Tim at the time was in Josh Trank's Fantastic Four.
That's right. He was someone's dad.
I think he was
Reed's dad.
Reed's dad.
Oh my god!
Or school teacher or something.
Something like that.
Fucking hell!
What a fucking movie!
that was the subatomic time for everything, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Wasn't it actually like 70 minutes long?
Yeah, so short. They this movie Ant-Man versus and the Wasp. I keep wanting to say versus the Wasp.
That's the Zack Snyder what he's done to us now. Totally. Apparently, also first Marvel movie to have a woman character in the title.
Yeah.
The Avengers doesn't count.
Hopefully we get many more. Although the next one definitely is. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh my god, it is too.
Yeah. But
Thor, no.
Iron Woman. I've lost my train of thought now.
Where is all?
This is what happens when we record late.
What was it you were saying?
No idea. Train of thought's gone. Ant-Man.
Like
and the I was
Ant-Man versus Wasp. You
yeah,
said.
I know, but that was an accidental thing. That's not what I was trying to say. We'll never know, Angus. Let it. It's in the quantum realm now.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Something's the best left there. It's gone subatomic in the realm where dinosaur butt phones and shit like that.
But happen. Yeah, I think this is really fun, and I think that they made the right decision releasing this
when they did right
after Infinity War. It does feel like this kind of fun, light entertainment that has glimpses of.
The wider universe.
Exactly.
And like the repercussions, but it's like a day in the life. And it's set in a place where we haven't seen like the last time we've been in San Francisco was the last Ant-Man. You know what I mean? Like they're always very New York or now they're very international.
It was really cool how much they use San Francisco as well.
Totally. Took advantage of it more so than probably any other movie took advantage of its setting.
Yeah. I love that it's like, they don't so much set the movies there. They just have a car chase there.
And you're like, oh, and also the pier.
Yeah.
Very San Francisco. The Peyton Reed's now said he wants to do he'd love to do Fantastic Four.
That's what I was gonna say. There were moments in Ant-Man and the Wasp that it just felt like a Fantastic Four movie.
Well, he was like working on a Fantastic Four movie before the first Fox one in the noughties. And I remember him speaking about it and he's like, at the time, think of back then it was like X-Men and Blade and stuff. He's like, I just would love to do we spoke about this as well. This movie's very bright and set in the day, which is more common now in hero films. But at the time when he was, this is like early noughties, he's like, all these movies are set at nighttime.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'd love to do a scene. I think I could have find it. You can Google it, probably find like Peyton Reed Fantastic Four. But he's just like, I would love, I think he was working on a script or maybe he had. And he's like, it's an opening scene and it's in a Starbucks and Fantastic Four. People are just lining up getting coffee. And they're like, oh, what's outside? They're like, oh, it's just them. They're stopping this thing. And it was like the Fantastic Four issue one cup of like that big lizard creature.
Yep.
And that's just daylight and them doing their thing kind of all in one hero shot. And the people are just like, oh, cool, it's them. And he's like, I just would love to do it as if that's a very normal thing that happens during the day.
Yeah, awesome.
He'd be suited for it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see a good Fantastic Four movie. I think it is totally possible.
I mean, fourth time's a charm, right?
Fantastic fourth time. So the next Marvel movie we get is Captain Marvel. Then it's Avengers 4.
Yeah, still untitled. We'll find out very soon. And then that's the end of Phase 4. Then it's Spider-Man, as we found out recently, Far From Home.
Very, very exciting
stuff. No, he did write a script for it. He wrote a pitch.
Peyton Reed did.
Yeah.
For Fantastic Four. Well, maybe next week's episode can be you reading out that script in full.
It won't be as zany.
As this episode?
As the Johnny Depp pockets.
Good stuff.
Look, that was a great episode of Hey Fam.
It was one of the best.
Yeah, it's the best I've heard.
This is actually the end of Phase 3 of Hey Fam.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
The next one's going to be set in the 90s, even though it's part of Phase 3, but it, canonically it's set before all the other ones.
Thank you so much for joining us in this long adventure. If you want to find us online, you can find us at facebook.com/heyfampodcast. One thing you should definitely do is go to patreon.com/heyfam, because we put up a bonus episode last week. If you've been enjoying some of the little music discussions we've been having,
more of that.
We did a very, very long episode all about Kanye West and our favorite Kanye West tracks last week, including basically a full radio show about Kanye.
It was very fun.
2 hours long. It's our monthly radio show. Hey, so FM. Wild. And you can find it exclusively at patreon.com/heyfm. Yeah. We have a Facebook group as well that you can only join if you are a real one and a patron.
Yeah.
It's really fun in there. We post memes.
We're in there all the time.
Just crazy photos.
We're constantly jokes, in there.
Hot takes.
It's good times.
It's good in there.
This podcast when you're not listening to this podcast.
If you want to find us individually on Instagram and Twitter, we are at Chimichangas for Angus and at Levdog, LevDawg for me.
If you've got any Tom Cruise's goods you want to offload, at me.
Or Jurassic Park trivia. Don't forget
that. Yeah. I watched 10 Tom Cruise movies this week.
That's amazing.
Let the record show.
Well, Angus, like we say every single week,
enjoy your morning.
Enjoy the battle bus.
Enjoy the battle bus.
Good night.
Au revoir, suckers.
Okay, that's all the time I've got. I gotta get back to playing Animal Crossing New Leaf on my Nintendo 3DS.
I know what you're probably thinking. You're thinking, Reggie,
I can't wait to drop off the battle bus and meet some of you on the battlefield in Fortnite.
Hey!
Bam! Bam! Bam!
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.